Good morning, friends. Welcome to morning worship. We open our worship by singing to God's praise, hymn number 68, O Thou My Soul, Bless God the Lord. 68. The Lord is near to those who call upon him in truth. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose nature is love, we worship you who are the Lord of heaven and earth and who rule over all things in your wisdom, power, and love. We turn to you with contrite hearts, Lord, trusting in your power to still the wave and to command the tempest, trusting that your holy arm is as strong to save as it is to smite. We confess before you our sins and our waywardness. We seek your forgiveness and your grace to enable us to live as we ought to live, being better disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, better ambassadors for him in the stresses and strains of life, in the hustle and bustle of daily activities, amid the temptations and opportunities which life affords us. Help us, Lord, to seek to know you more intimately. Come to us with the freshness of the morning. Cheer and enliven the thirsty ground of our souls with the dew of your presence. Shed your light on the path we tread. Chase away the sorrows of the past, that we may serve you with renewed vigor and greater commitment in the future. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hymn number 189. Be still for the presence of the Lord. 189. read God's word in the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, chapter 20, at verse 1. Proverbs, chapter 20, at verse 1. Wine is a mocker, and beer a brawler. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise. A king's wrath is like the roar of a lion. He who angers him forfeits his life. It is to a man's honour to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. A sluggard does not plough in season, so at harvest time he looks but finds nothing. The purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out. Many a man claims to have unfailing love, but a faithful man who can find? The righteous man leads a blameless life. Blessed are his children after him. When a king sits on his throne to judge, he winnows out all evil with his eyes. Who can say, I have kept my heart pure, I am clean and without sin? Differing weights and differing measures, the Lord detests them both. Even a child is known by his actions, by whether his conduct is pure and right. Ears that hear and eyes that see, the Lord has made them both. And in the New Testament, a letter to the Romans, chapter 11, verse 29. Romans, chapter 11, verse 29. For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable, just as you who were at one time disobedient to God have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience, so they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound all men over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out! Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory for ever. Amen. And the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Now we're going to sing hymn 147, and it's a long hymn, and all seven verses are printed on our leaflet, but we're not going to sing all seven verses, just the first three and the last one. So if you look at the page, those three verses here and the last verse over there. We're missing out those three there. First three verses and the last three of hymn 147, All Creatures of Our God and King. The book of Proverbs, chapter 20, at verse 12, ears that hear and eyes that see, the Lord has made them both. People have all sorts of different ways of waking up in the morning. Some people do it naturally, without any artificial aids. They just wake up and get on with it. They're to be admired for their Spartan tenacity, especially on winter mornings. Other people need some kind of help. Alarm clock. I remember one colleague at university who used an electric alarm clock rather than a wind-up one. The wind-up one would eventually wind down and its alarm bell would stop ringing. The electric one just went on making its terrible buzzing sound until eventually someone switched it off. Well, my colleague used to place it on the floor at the opposite side of the room from his bed. So he was forced to get up and switch the thing off. He couldn't just reach out of bed and switch it off and go back to sleep again. Nowadays, of course, there are radio alarms. We can have the radio to wake us up gently, or not so gently, depending on the station we set it to. We can have loud music, or softer music, or just talk. I used to have the Radio Scotland farming news and weather forecast and travel report. People's voices droning in the background until I would gently emerge into the state we call consciousness. I sometimes think about this business of a radio program going on in the background. Yes, I would say I heard the weather forecast, but when I try to remember it, I can't remember what it said. I heard it, but maybe I wasn't really listening, still busy waking up. I heard it, but I wasn't listening. I suppose that's true of a lot of what we hear in the course of daily life. The book of Proverbs is one of the books included in what is known as the wisdom literature. The writers of the wisdom literature are concerned with helping people to grow wise in a worldly way. Wise to know how to get the best out of life, how to cope with life on an everyday practical level. So here is one of the things this writer is advocating. Be a listener. Be one who sees and one who listens. That way you can learn and become wise. Seeing is the same as hearing in one respect. It is possible to see something and yet not have it register on your mind. I don't often take wedding services nowadays, but when I did, I'd go home afterwards and Mrs. Hebbington might ask me what the bride was wearing. Well, I knew she wasn't wearing a scuba diving suit or a rugby kit, but beyond that, I found it difficult to be precise enough and to remember what I had seen just a little while earlier. I suppose it depends on what we have our mind on. If we see something and don't have our mind on it, we can fail to remember clearly what we saw. We can even fail to be aware that we saw it. The ear that hears and the eye that sees, the Lord made them both. It is important as we go through life to see and hear, and for what we see and hear to register with us so that we hold it in our mind. The writer of the book of Proverbs is thinking about the acquiring of worldly wisdom, but we need to have the hearing ear and the seeing eye for living the Christian life too. On Radio Scotland, I sometimes also hear thought for the day. One day, it was a Roman Catholic priest, and he mentioned taking a funeral service and reading the prayers at this service. It didn't surprise me too much to hear that, but in a way it brought me up with a start. In all the services that we take in our church, We like to vary the prayers, but here was someone who was reading the statutory prayers from a book, the same prayers which would always be said in the funeral service. To some people, not only Roman Catholics, but some others as well, using the prayer book with the same wording of prayers every time, that is one of the great strengths of the church. The congregation like to hear those familiar words. In ordinary services, they know what's coming, and they look for it, and they enter into it. In the Roman Catholic and in the Episcopalian services, the congregation are asked to participate sometimes with set responses. They get to know and they get to like that form of worship. It has a deep meaning and a loveliness and a strength which those people would miss if it were not there. Well, we don't do so much of that. Maybe we do a little of that sort of thing in the Church of Scotland. In the communion service, for example, we use the same words to a certain extent every time we hold the service. But to us, with our tradition, perhaps the danger we would see in the repeated use of set prayers is that they might come to be taken for granted, and their meaning might pass the people by just because they were so familiar with the words. Is that, for instance, how it is with us with the Lord's Prayer? To listen and not to hear. To hear but not to take it in. To look but not to see. To see but not to let it register in the mind what we've seen. When we hold our communion service, we have the elements of bread and wine displayed on the table before the service begins. Some congregations bring the elements in later in the service, during the singing of a hymn. No doubt there's something to be said for that way, just as there's something to be said for our way. We probably don't think about it much, but if we do think about it, we probably don't want to make any change or see any reason for change from our normal procedure. Anyway, the presence of the communion elements, whether they're brought in during the service or whether they're already there beforehand, their presence gives us occasion to think of their meaning. Even while we sing a hymn, we can reflect that here are the representations of the body and blood of our Saviour. We share in his body, we're cleansed by his blood. It's a fundamental need in our life. Then we have the familiar words of the sacrament. We've heard the words before. When we hear them again, it's possible for the words to go right past us and for the real meaning not to register with us. So we pray that the Lord will give us the ear that hears and the eye that sees. The Lord made them both. All the way through our life, in small things as well as in great, in ordinary days as well as in red letter days, in ordinary daily living as well as what we might call the significant moments of life, in all of life there are instances of the challenge which comes to us. The challenge which came to the people of Old Testament times, for whom the writer of the book of Proverbs was writing. This is the challenge to allow our mind to work on what we see and what we hear. God has given us the outward ear and the outward eye. The Lord made the physical organs, but this writer is telling us of something deeper than that. The Lord made it possible for us to take it in, possible for us to see and hear and learn from it. The Lord has set us in this life for a purpose. He reveals only a little of his purpose to us at a time, because that's all we're ready for. But God is calling us to see and hear and take note and act on it. God's calling us to do that all the time. In our worship, what we see and hear is calling us to realize the depth of our Saviour's love for us. Similarly, in all of life, there are truths presented to us through the medium of the outward eye and the outward ear, which we're meant to take hold of and make use of and act upon. When Jesus sent his disciples out to go on their mission to take the gospel to everyone, He knew they would meet with opposition. In particular, they would meet with the opposition of the ear and the eye, which didn't hear and didn't see, people who didn't take in what it was all about. He knew that they would meet with that, but he sent them all the same, not just to do their best and hard luck if nobody paid attention, but to start a fire going. Yes, that's it. The first disciples of Jesus went out to start a fire which was never going to go out. It's not easy starting a fire sometimes. Our early attempts to get it going may meet with difficulty and may end in failure, so that we'll have to begin all over again. We may be up against difficulties like wet material and wind and everything like that. So it is with the Christian church, trying to represent the Lord in the present day world. Oh, an evangelist can come and say to us, go around the doors in your local area and invite people to come to the church and to share their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes that can be successful and sometimes not. And sometimes the ear that hears but doesn't take it in, the eye that sees but doesn't register, sometimes those are found not only in the people to whom the church goes in its evangelistic outreach, but even in the members of the church themselves. But the Lord made the ear which hears and the eye which sees. The Lord gives those gifts to us and equips us for meeting with life. In our situation, even as we're here today, the Lord is speaking to us and showing us the way. Maybe we don't feel all that ready to be involved in God's outreach to the world, not even his outreach to the people of Stevenston. But in our life, in the things which happen in our life from day to day, in the ordinary things just as much as in the great things, in the daily routine as much as in the things which have to do with worship, in all those things, the Lord has a message for us. It is a message which can and which will uplift us and make us better able to cope with life. God knows what it is that you and I have to cope with, even now, in this week. It's a message which we have to pass on to others by the way that we live. The Christian faith is not book learning, although there is a book concerned with it, and other books too, which may help. The Christian life is not slavish obedience to a set of rules. It is a daily walk with a living Lord. In that daily walk, there is that which is to be seen and heard, and which, being seen and heard and taken in, will become the very fabric of eternal life, for others as well as for ourselves. From this service of worship today, may we go with the hearing ear and the seeing eye into whatever life has to bring to us in the coming days and weeks. And may we be enabled to give our all in service to the Lord who made them both. And now to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. Thank you. hymn number 509, Jesus Calls Us, 509. Let us pray. Almighty God, we seek the help of your Holy Spirit to make things holy, to make our lives holy, and our thoughts, and these our material offerings, and the purposes to which they are directed in your service. We thank you for your never-failing goodness, for the joy of home and family, the friendship we share with people, and the helpfulness exchanged between neighbours. We thank you for things to do, for health and strength, for your love shining through human loves and coming to us in a variety of ways. Above all, we thank you for Jesus Christ, for all he has done and continues to do for us, for your Holy Spirit at work in the church and in our hearts, revealing your truth, renewing our life, and bringing us to your eternal kingdom. Lord, we pray for your church, here in this parish and in the parish linked with us, elsewhere in this country and throughout the world. We pray that your people may be courageous and exercise faith so that your word may become known and become the basis of people's lives. We pray for our Queen and those in authority, that in fulfilling their duties they may be guided by your Spirit and upheld by your grace. We pray for the community in which we live, for the country to which we belong, for the world in whose life we are all bound up together. We pray that the nations of the world may follow the path of peace. We pray for all who are in troubled times, that you may help them through. We give thanks for the word of Jesus bidding his disciples not to fear those people or those powers who can kill the body but cannot harm the soul. Help us to open ourselves to the influence of your Holy Spirit so that we may live in that eternal life shared by all the faithful which you alone can give. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Friends, I don't know how long it is since we had people joining the congregation by profession of faith, and I don't know of any who are intending to do that at this time. But there are one or two people in the Ardeer congregation who are moving that way at this time, and there's going to be a class for membership beginning a week tomorrow. So if you know of anyone who is that way minded, who is moving towards full membership of the church, perhaps you can let them know about it. The class is going to meet beginning a week tomorrow, Monday the 27th, in the small hall at Ardeer Church, 6:30 in the evening, and will continue a week tomorrow and all the Mondays of May. And those people who have attended the class will be admitted to membership on the last day of May, the Sunday before communion. Let anyone know about that if you know of anyone who's that way minded. Now, our closing hymn at this service, 552, Oh for a Closer Walk with God, 552. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, this day and forevermore.